Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So lately I've been hooked on a show on the radio called How I Built It, where inventors and founders of companies are interviewed about how they built their products and how they expanded their businesses. And it's normally a really captivating story. They take like an underdog or somebody with a crazy idea that just grew and grew and grew. So you'll hear the guys who developed Uber or the lady who created Spanx. And you'll see how they went from a dream that often people are like, that's totally crazy, never going to happen. And then through taking advantage of opportunities, taking risks, and just staying with their vision, they grow into something massive. So it's on the radio, and I think there's probably a lot of people listening to it, but I really don't think it's because most of us have this fantasy of like creating the next aerospace company or being like the guru of a cosmetic empire. At least I don't have any of those pretensions, so you can rest assured. So why would something like this be attractive? Why would we want to hear these stories of how people have led and built something from their vision? And I think it's quite simple. I think it's just that we find these stories captivating because they kind of speak to us in our own life. So after hearing of enough of these stories of people taking risk at the right moment, I find myself kind of driving along saying, well, I hope I know when the right moment is, and I hope I'm willing to take that risk. So I find in these stories kind of this mirror to look at my own life and see, am I bold enough to step out when I need to? Am I paying attention to the opportunities in front of me? And so really what this serves as is an example that kind of speaks more than just a cosmetic empire, but directly into all the things that I'm facing. So I think this is one of the ways that the church has always read both the scriptures, but also particularly the Old Testament. To see in the Old Testament examples of how the Lord has come into people's lives and how those people have responded. Some with success, some with failure. And so the Old Testament serves as this kind of opportunity to look into a mirror and see something of the challenges we face today, of the way God might be interacting with us. So as we spend time in the prophets in this season of Advent, we encounter all these scriptures where the prophets see a vision that the Messiah is coming. Somehow the Lord himself is coming to Israel. And many of the prophets see that there will be one who will go before him. There will be signs of this. But the people will need to pay attention. Because even though the story of the nativity, of Jesus coming into this world, Emmanuel, is this wonderful, joyous story, it's also tragic. So there's this point in the Gospel of Luke where Simeon in the temple sees the baby Jesus. And it's not just everything's wonderful. He sees the child and he says, this one will be for the rise and fall of many in Israel. Because there's something tragic about the story of the Gospels. God finally shows up, the promises are fulfilled, and people miss it. Or they see it in a way, and then they push against it and refuse to step into this new thing that God is doing. And so the Gospels remind us that our response is deeply important. That when God shows up in our life, we need to be paying attention. So in Malachi, this passage, we see a few things about what it looks like when God shows up. And I think we can apply these to our own lives. First, when God shows up, it's unexpected, But there are signs if you're looking for them. So our passage this morning began with, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me." And we heard in the Gospel of Luke how Luke is looking back at Isaiah, seeing that there would be a messenger who would cry out and prepare for the coming of the Lord. And we see this in John the Baptist, who is the messenger who the church has named the forerunner, the one who goes ahead of the Messiah and calls people to repentance and paying attention. But here's the thing about John the Baptist. He's strange. He is unexpected, okay? If you didn't realize it, not everybody walks around living in the desert, eating locusts, wearing camel coats, and preaching against all the sins of the day and calling people to get baptized in the Jordan. This was new. It was the fulfillment of everything that was prophesied. And yet when it happened, people weren't like, "Yeah, that's pretty much what I expected." They were like, "Whoa, what is going on?" And for every person who was drawn in by the messenger, there was someone else who said, "This is too much for me. This is crazy. I'm going to stay in my town. I'm not going to the wilderness like those other hippies. Like, we're going to stay here." And they missed it. So there's something about when God shows up in the world and in our lives that there's signs for it, but they may be very unexpected. They may jostle us a bit. I think there's this danger that we believe that when God speaks to us, it's going to be so clear that we can't ignore it. But the problem is that in the scriptures, when God speaks to his people, there's always this aspect where they can ignore it. They can refuse to listen. They can just throw it away and say, "Nope, something weird is happening. I'm not going to lean into that." So we have to realize that if Jesus Christ came in a strange way, brought in by this John the Baptist wild-eyed desert dude, then maybe sometimes God is going to break into our life in ways we're not expecting. And I think the way that we aren't expecting most of the time is for God to just break in to normal life. We expect like a mountaintop experience. We expect like the clouds swirling and everything and there's signs and suddenly it's like, here is the path. Here's where how we should go. But God doesn't always work like that. Actually, most of the time he doesn't. He nudges. He whispers. He gives these little hints, little signs of where he's calling you to. So I'm going to ask one of those questions where I say, does anybody have this experience? And I know everybody has had the experience, so you're not off the hook. Has anybody ever had one of those times where suddenly a friend comes to mind who's having a hard time? Just out of nowhere, Sarah's really struggling. I wonder how she's doing. Or you just suddenly think about your friend who just started a new job. Like, I wonder how that's going. But then something right in front of you that is deeply important, it may be work, it may be binge-watching something, attracts your attention, and you kind of say, "Oh, that was just a fleeting thought," and you move along. Or maybe you're reading the scriptures, and suddenly there's an opening, and you see that this is kind of intense. And if I take this seriously, it's going to change my life. But then something else, anything else, can take your attention, and you can say, "Oh, that's interesting." Drop it and move on. Or you think to yourself about someone that drives you crazy, someone that's hurt you, and suddenly, for just a moment, you're aware of that unforgiveness or that wound. And there's this moment of perhaps you could pray about it, but then I've got to get where I'm going. Because life is so busy, we can just ignore all of this. What if this is the Lord? What if the Lord is coming as a messenger with little signs here and there of how to live your life? What if the Lord is saying, reach out to that person? Deal with this thing in your heart. Take this thing you just read in your devotional seriously. It's so easy to miss if we're not looking for it. If we're not open to God kind of breaking in, and it's like, Lord, I have many other things to do. I don't have time to have a come to Jesus meeting. I don't have time to work on this. I don't have the emotional energy to deal with this. And yet there's this little voice that's just prodding for you to pay attention. I've had this happen so often, and most of the time, honestly, I struggle to pay attention at all. But then there's these moments where I lean into it, and I say, like, yeah, maybe I should call that person. Or maybe I should take a moment to pray for them. And then crazy stuff happens. Jesus just shows up. So I reach out to someone and say, hey, how are things going? And then it's like, I cannot believe that you called me right now. Because this week has been crazy. Or I just found this out, and I'm really struggling. And suddenly that stray little thought doesn't seem so stray. Or there's moments where I just think I'm going to chit-chat with a friend, and I just take that extra second to ask them how they're doing, to get real with them for a second, and they get real with me. And suddenly it's this moment of like mutual encouragement, and we're just like, keep on, man. Like, you got to do it. Like, keep leaning into the Lord. I know it is so frustrating. I know you're disillusioned, but here, the Lord's at work. Maybe that little prod of, I wonder how so-and-so is doing, is the Lord inviting you into something deeper with him. The second thing that we see in Malachi is that when God shows up, there is spiritual transformation. God doesn't really waste his time in coming into people's lives. If there's anything you can see in the prophets, is that when God shows up, stuff happens. People are changed. Sin is dealt with. Righteousness is honored. People are lifted up. And those who refuse to step into the life are thrown down. There's an energy when the Lord comes into our life. And so suddenly this Malachi passage of, yes, the Lord is coming to his temple. And there's excitement. And then it twists. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? Who can even last through this? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. This is a powerful image of transformation. So let's unpack it for a second. So refiners in the ancient world took gold and silver ore. So when you dig those things up from the ground, they're mixed with a lot of impurities. And what a refiner does is, through intense fire, melts away the impurities so that eventually there's a pure metal that's useful for decoration, for ornamentation, to build utensils out of. So it's through the application of intense heat that this transformation happens. And fullers had a different job. They were like the laundromats of the ancient world. But instead of just having like the soft tumble dry, they would add in certain kinds of soap to the clothes. And they would wring them and stomp on them and beat them and just aggressively agitate them until the soap had gotten into every aspect of the cloth. And then when they washed the clothes, suddenly they were clean. Again, we have this image of purifying, cleansing, but it's violent. It's powerful. And the sons of Levi were those of the tribe that would offer gifts and offerings and sacrifices in the temple. And one of the common concerns of the Lord and the prophet is that they're offering polluted gifts. They're not giving of their best. Their hearts are not right. And so we have this vision that when the Lord comes to his temple, people will be transformed and renewed. And once again, they will offer righteous offerings to the Lord. Their worship will be pure. But it's vigorous action. I don't particularly like these images, like in myself. I don't really like the notion that when God shows up in my life, it's like a purifying fire. Or it's like guys beating dirt out of cloth. I don't know that that's a natural inclination of ours. But this is what the Lord says it's like when he's at work in his people. There's vigorous action. There is cleansing, but it's done through power and energy. And so most fundamentally, we see this purification in the blood of Jesus Christ himself, who is the offering who brings us into life with God. But the thing we always have to remember about the Gospels is the ministry of Jesus was not just saying, "Believe in me." He didn't have one sermon where he just said, "Look, I'm going to go do a thing, believe in that, and then we're all good." He spent a lot of time preaching about how we should live, how we should love God, how we should love one another, how we should care for those in need, forgive, have compassion, how we should fight against our own selfish impulses. That's a huge amount of Jesus' ministry, teaching us how to fight against that part of us that doesn't want to follow God. And if you've ever leaned into that, if you've ever said, "Okay, Jesus, I'm going to try to grow in holiness," you will quickly find out that it feels like a purifying fire or like getting beat up by sticks and feet. Because holiness is a hard-fought thing. The death of my pride is a hard-fought thing. And it's done through vigorous action. One of the things I'm imminently convinced of is that every one of us has a frustration in life that is the means by which the Lord is purifying us. So take the church community, right? There is somebody here who's like your opposite, who rubs you the wrong way. There is somebody here that you have baggage with. There is somebody here that you have to be gracious towards. And you are that somebody for somebody else. So the image that I thought of from my childhood was a rock tumbler. I don't know if you've ever used a rock tumbler, but you basically throw a bunch of rocks together, and then you throw some grit in, and then you just churn it. You turn it on, and it just churns. And all of this hard, rough stuff rubs around until suddenly you have these really smooth pebbles. And it's counterintuitive, right? Like you take a hard rock and you say, "Well, let's smooth it by like rubbing it with smooth and nice things." Doesn't work that way. All the rocks rubbing together make the smooth. That's what church is. It's transformation through fire and through pummeling and vigorous action. So there's moments where you're going to look at life here or life in your family, and you're going to say, "Why is this happening?" And then just remember what my spiritual director always tells me. "Well, why do you think God's put you there?" Because he's doing something in you. The Lord is concerned with your transformation. So lean into that. Recognize where it's happening. The final thing we see in the passage from Malachi is that when the Lord shows up, refusing has consequences. Resisting has consequences. Throughout the scriptures, we see that God is always eager to speak, always eager to come, enter into our life, always merciful, always bringing life. And so the one thing that's problematic is when we say no to that, when we refuse his entry into our life. That is when the love of God turns into condemnation and judgment on our hard heart. So listen to what the prophet Malachi sees. "Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner and do not fear me, says the Lord." Those are the ones who have refused the transformative power of God in their lives. So when God shows up to Israel, there's two realities: transformation and condemnation. Recognition that the Lord is at work, that He has spoken, turning our life towards Him, or saying, you know what, I don't have time for that. Maybe some other time. So when God shows up in our lives, our response matters. And I think for most of us, we know this. To reject the words of the gospel is a dangerous thing. But God doesn't just show up in one moment of your life, that initial moment where you hear about Jesus Christ. God is at work always. And refusing Him, a pattern of resisting His voice, is not good. It helps us to grow cold to what He's saying. And so in this Advent, we need to remember that we're not just recalling that Jesus has come or that Jesus will come, but that there's a little Advent in our lives all the time where the Lord's coming and speaking and inviting us into life with Him. So it's one thing to wait for that final day where the Lord will come in glory, but it's another thing to wait actively and saying, well, how are you coming right now? What word are you saying to me right now? And if that's your habit, if that is your attitude, if you are attentive in the day to day, you will be attentive for that day. So hear the word of Malachi, that the Lord comes into our lives. There are signs for it. Be attentive to those signs. Be open to the unexpectedness. And seek to be transformed by the power of God. Amen.